Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
This week we're going to look at Thyatira. But before we do, book of Romans chapter 10. Look down there at verse 9. When mankind gets a hold of trying to think about God and what you need to do to get close to Him, have you noticed how mankind tries to put up all these hoops? You're going to get up early. You're going to go down to the airport and hand out flowers. You're going to shave your head. You're going to bow 5 times a day towards whatever. Did you know that God doesn't love us for what we can do? He loves us because we are His kids. Parents, have you caught yourself watching your kid frolic in the backyard? You're overwhelmed. Look at my boy. Look at my girl. Do you see Jaden playing piano here? She was afraid. She was frightened. She was like, but there's all those people. I said, I know. Don't worry about it. That was my girl playing worship, man, on the stage. If she hit any bad notes, I didn't hear them. Because I hear them through the filter of a parent. Awesome, baby. Way to go. And the Bible says, if you parents being evil know how to love your kids, how much more your Heavenly Father? Relationship is what God desires from us, not religion. The actual word religion comes from a root word that means to bind, to constrain. Religion is what humans come up with when they try to think about their relationship or how to do with this amazing God. The one and only God who created the heavens and the earth loves us so much. How much does He love us? He stretched out His arms and said, this much. And He died for us. And no matter how many times we talk about the gospel, I still get these questions. I ask God to forgive me several times, but I keep going back to it. Surely He's disappointed with me. By the way, how much knowledge does God know? All knowledge. Can you surprise God? You're over at God's house and you're hiding behind the little thing, you know, in the hallway, and God's coming down the hall. Boogada, you jump out. He's all, knew you were there. You get God a little present. God, got your present. He's all, thanks for the socks. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? If God knows everything, can you surprise Him? What's the answer?
No.
And if you can't surprise Him, you cannot disappoint Him either. Because He knows everything you did, even before one molecule was put upon another when God created the heavens and the earth. Loved one, it's relationship that He seeks from you, not religion. Chapter 10, the book of Romans, verse 9. Paul says this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart. That's an interesting word, believe. It means to place your full weight in. Do you believe that chair will hold you? I do. You may say I believe it intellectually, but that's not the word here. The word believe is when you finally sit in it, you put your full weight in this Jesus. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, then you will be what, everybody? Let's read verse 9 one more time together. You ready? That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be what, everybody? Saved! Where does it say here you got to speak in tongues? Where does it say here you got to be baptized? Where does it say here you got to tithe your 10%? It's not in here. It's not religion that God wants from you. It's relationship. When Jesus was on the cross and the guy to his right or his left at first was jawing at Jesus, "Oh, some son of God you are. Why don't you come off the cross? Show all these people who you are, that you are God." He didn't understand that it wasn't the nails that held him there. It was his love for us. That's why he stayed on the cross. Did the thief on the cross speak in tongues? Did the thief on the cross tithe his 10%? What hoops did the thief on the cross jump through to find the forgiveness of a loving God? What did he do? One thing. Oh God, please don't forget me. Verse 10. For with your heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, if you would make your way over to Revelation chapter 2. Do you know that you Christians have been responsible for more deaths than any religion in the world has ever seen? And if you didn't know that, you need to know that. Hitler killed 6 million Jews in the Holocaust, and we rightfully should be appalled by that. Some of the popes that killed that many people in a few months. Steve's going to start bashing the Catholics. Before you Protestants start pointing a finger at the Catholics, don't worry. Next week in the Church of Sardis, y'all are next. How simple is the gospel? For God so loved the world that he gave. With our mouth, if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and with our heart we believe that he was raised from the dead, a resurrection Sunday. That is the gospel. Let me restate it as simply as I can. On the cross, how much of your sin was Jesus paying for? Say it again, please. And how much is all? Think about the times when you don't want to come to church because your life is a mess or you've been a mess. There's a little party that says, "Oh, you know what I've been doing, what I've been up against. Oh, I couldn't possibly go to church." Until I get cleaned up first and then darken the door of your threshold. That's a complete misunderstanding of what the cross is. Loved one, it's not a religion hoops that he wants from us. It is a relationship. Thyatira. Do you know what Thyatira's name means? It means continual sacrifice. This is roughly dealing with the church period of time about 590 AD to about 1517 AD. Remnants thereof are going to be lasting even unto the rapture. Why 590? If you really want to get into the depths of the history here, probably nobody does it better than Chuck Missler when he goes through this section of scripture and he has pages and pages and pages of the horrible things that people did when the state began to run the church, starting with Constantine and then on through Theodosius and all these other guys. And pretty soon, the emperor of Rome started to fancy himself as the head of the church. The pastors of the various regions, especially the larger cities, became known as bishops or overseers. The Roman Empire said you had to be a Christian. They became Christians by culture, by coercion. And then, boy, did the church get wacky from there. About 590 AD, there was a fellow by the name of Gregory I. He was a pretty good man. The Western Roman Empire had fallen into great disrepair. The Goths and the Visigoths had run through everything. Rome itself was sacked as early as about 400 years AD. Constantine, 300 AD, he picked up what he thought was the Roman center, and he moves it east to Constantinople. We know that city today as Istanbul. So then the Byzantine Empire is more or less thriving in the east, but the Western Roman Empire is a mess. And so they go dig out a fellow by the name of Gregory I, who was in a monastery. He was a prolific writer. And through his work, he brought together much of the church in what we would see as Western Europe. Why 1517? Because in 1517, on the doors of Wittenberg, Martin Luther, who said, you know what? What the church had become, all the hoops that it was requiring people to jump through, is ridiculous. It's not in the Bible. In many of the churches, the Bible was chained to the altar, and there was a little rail here in front that nobody could go in. In fact, the priesthood would face away from the audience, and the entire Mass would be done in Latin. It wasn't until 1965, is it, Vatican II, that said, let's turn the priests around, let's take the little railing away, and let's have the Mass in English. I'm not bagging on the Catholics. I'm bagging on religion. Thyatira is at the junction of three main roads to Pergamos, Sardis, and Smyrna. And under the Roman Empire, it turned into a frontier fortress. It was a big old fortress to guard the way to Pergamos. Before it was named Thyatira by Seleucus I, do you know what its name was? It was Semiramis. The plains of Shinar, where Babylon was founded by Nimrod, back in Genesis chapter 10. He hated God and everything that God was about. Every occultic practice that you can bring to my attention, it began in Babylon. Semiramis, she's the queen of heaven cult. And her son, Tammuz, she became impregnated when she was a virgin. Tammuz dies on or around the winter solstice. He raises miraculously, says the queen of heaven cult. And then, of course, he rules and reigns until the next year when he dies again. What started in Babylon, King Cyrus the Persian encounters when he defeats Babylon. He picks it up and he moves it to Pergamos. When Pompey comes through the region in 63 BC, he becomes so enamored with these occultic practices. They were quite impressive, to be sure. They were supernaturally documented. He picks up the whole college and he moves it to Rome. Constantine et al. Enlists the help of the Christians to fight Maxinius. Then he says, I love you Christians, you're awesome. In fact, who would like a job with the government? Theodosius, about 35 years later, he mandates everybody be a Christian. Then the occultic pagans were going, well, what are you going to do with our Saturnalia on December the 25th? We love that. We're giving presents away, you know. That was the one time a year, if you were a slave, you could give lip to your boss. We like that holiday. That's awesome. What about Saturnalia? We love Saturnalia. Well, let's just change it. To what? Christ Mass. Very likely Jesus was not born on December the 25th. Very likely Jesus was born in the fall. It is my personal hope and opinion he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. Then that would make a lot more fun out of John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word in Greek is tabernacled among us. Wouldn't that be cool if Jesus was born in the Feast of Tabernacles? Stuff like that just lights my pilot light. Where was I going with all of that? December the 25th is likely not when Jesus was born. Well, then why is that their tradition? It comes from all the way back here when some potentates and heavy hitters and emperors trying to oversee the church kowtowed to the cry of the public. We will not give up our Saturnalia. Then they just put the Christian stamp on it and called it Christ Mass. Doesn't matter so much when he was born. It matters that he was born. Remember Jesus? I'm way out there now. Remember the Bible describes Jesus as attending the winter dedication feast. If you know the story, 167 BC, the last of the Greeks, a guy by the name of Antiochus IV, rolls through town. He wanted to take out the Ptolemies. He gets handily defeated, and on his way back, he takes all of his frustration out on the people of Israel, specifically Jerusalem. He sacrifices pigs, unkosher animal, on the holy altar of God. He places a statue of Zeus in the Holy of Holies of the Jewish temple. It takes 3 years for the Jews to finally rise up against the oppression of the Greek kings and overlords. We're going to light the menorah in the holy place. Where's the holy oil that's consecrated, an 8-day process in the Old Testament? Well, we only have oil enough for one day. We'll put it in the lamp. They did. We'll burn that oil while we go through the 8-day process of making the new Levitical oil. And for some miraculous reason, the light remains burning day 2, day 3, day 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. The Jews to this day celebrate that miracle of the rededication of the temple under the Maccabees, and they call it Hanukkah. Jesus went to the winter dedication festival in Jerusalem. That is not a Levitical feast. That was a cultural celebration. And Jesus says, when I go to the temple, I'm not going to be talking about Antiochus. I'm not going to be talking about miracles of the 8 days or the whatever days. You know what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about the love of my Father. That's what I'm going to talk about. He utilized cultural significant times to teach people about the real God. Pastor Steve, you're going to have a Christmas tree in your house? Yes, I am. What day are you going to celebrate Christmas on, Steve? Probably December the 25th. Because it doesn't matter when he was born, it matters that he was born. Then, of course, the days become longer and longer and longer and longer, and then pretty soon you have equal day and equal night. That's called the equinox. Then all the occultic people really got fired up, because that's when you can do all your fertility rites, because you're about ready to plant your crops. Eggs and bunnies. Have you ever noticed that bunnies don't lay eggs? In this region, this was a tribute to Ishtar. People said, we don't want to give up our Ishtar thing, because we like doing the thing with the eggs and the candy and all the other stuff we get away with under religious pretenses. So what did the church do? Okay. Let's just take it from Ishtar and let's name it what, everybody? Easter. So hey, Harvest, do you guys celebrate Easter? No, we don't. What we do celebrate is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But you celebrate it on the Easter. Jesus was resurrected on the feast of the first fruits. For 1,500 years, the people of God, the Jews, celebrated. You take a lamb, you cut its throat, you bleed it out, you daub the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the home. And then the angel of death, the angel of judgment, saw the blood of the what, everybody? He would pass over your house. 1,500 years they've been rehearsing that. What day did Jesus die on? The 14th of Nisan, the Passover. He wasn't a hapless victim of Passion Week. He died on the Passover. Now the blood of the Lamb of God, if you'll invite him into your heart, will leave, as it were, the imprint of the blood upon your heart. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, says the Lord, I stand at the door and knock. He that hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dwell or dine with him, and he with me. Why? Because now as he comes through the portal of your heart, symbolically he has left his blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And on the judgment day, the angel of judgment, which is Jesus himself, will see the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of your heart. And he will, what, everyone? Pass over judgment. Now, what was jumping through hoops about that? Constantine, because he was anti-Semitic, he knew that the Passover was when Jesus died. The resurrection was on Feast of First Fruits. He thought it was the Jews that put Jesus on the cross. You know who put Jesus on the cross? I did that. This is the devil speaking. We can't have such an easy and glaring testimony as that. How can we confuse it? I know. I'll stimulate the bozos who were in charge of the church at the time. Find the equinox, then find the full moon. There it is. The Sunday after the first full moon after the equinox. And that's the formula for finding Easter every year. Have you ever wondered why it jumps around? Well, that's why. Because the bozos in the church early on did their level best to confuse and distract and distinguish the resurrection of Christ from its tiedness to Passover, first fruits, unleavened bread, and Pentecost, etc., etc. Seleucus the First, formerly named Thyatira, Semiramis. It was known for its military fortress, as I mentioned, and also it had very strong trade guilds. We would call those today unions. Membership in these groups were compulsory. They were well organized and often owned considerable property. Each guild or each trade was under the patronage of some pagan deity, and all the businesses and the feasts commenced with paying homage and worship to that patron god over that guild. Another thing it was known for was its dyes. In this day, pretty much everybody's attire was mostly beige. Very strong and pronounced dyes were very expensive, because in the case of Thyatira, you had to get something called the madder root, which are very tough to find, and squish it up and you get some purple. But the most highly prized came from the murex shellfish. You had to dislodge the shellfish, careful not to kill him, and you would manipulate its little esophagus, and you'd get a little drop of purple dye. How many little drops of purple dye do you suppose it would take to dye an entire garment? That's why the color purple, so expensive, was reserved for royalty. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul rolls into Philippi, who does he meet there by the river? Lydia. She was a sales rep from Thyatira. She was a seller of purple. Remember how they were changing Saturnalia to Christmas? All kinds of other stuff from these Babylonian wisdom cults. The celibacy of the priesthood. If you want to be a priest in the deep knowledge cults, you couldn't be married. Never anywhere in the Bible does it say if you want to serve God full-time or vocationally, never does it say anywhere that you have to be celibate. Icon worship. The veneration of saints, the Queen of Heaven cult of Semiramis, purgatory, is nowhere in the scriptures, beloved. Nowhere is it in the Bible. You died, oops, you sort of are in that undefinable gray area between mortal and venial sins, you know. Or maybe you got hit by a cement truck and you weren't able to be issued the last rites, whatever it might be. Uh-oh. The jury's still out on you. Go to a holding pattern. And then it's up to the people that are living to light a candle, but more specifically, to give money to the priesthood so that you can get out of purgatory. Let me tell you very plainly what the Bible teaches. If you die without Jesus' forgiveness, you go immediately to a place of disembodied spirits. Currently, the Bible says it's in the center of the earth. And it's a holding pattern of sorts, but until Judgment Day. And then on Judgment Day, those that don't have Jesus are going to be dismissed into the lake of fire, eternal separation from God. If you have truly given your heart to the Lord, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then to die here is to be immediately with whom, everybody? There is no purgatory. Here's another one. High priest infallibility. The number one honcho in your religion, you know, he is infallible. There was only one person who was infallible, Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith Jr. and Muhammad are still in the grave. And Jesus only has risen. That's another sign that humans have been monkeying with your religion. Their number one president honcho, he speaks the infallible word of God. Whether it's the president of the Mormon Church, whether it is the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, men get a hold of it, and papal infallibility is not in the Bible. It is, however, a holdover from the Babylonian Occult and Spiritualism College.
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.